the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners. Welcome to another show where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is June 20th, 2022. It's either the last day of spring or the first day of summer. I'm not exactly sure, but either way, I hope you're enjoying the warm weather that's upon us right now. And just want to ask if you could please like this video, subscribe to the channel, and share our videos with your friends. That's one way to help us out and get more eyeballs on our channel. And with that being said, let's talk about the sponsors. And our first sponsor is ShakePay. It's the best place to buy and never sell your Bitcoin. Use our referral code below, and if you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the altcoin that they have listed on their exchange, $30 will be added to your account. Not only that, it gives you the ability to shake your phone once a day, open the app, the ShakePay app, shake your phone, you're good to go. You get some free partial Bitcoin added to your account. Do it for 200 consecutive days, and the amount you'll be issued to you or rewarded to you will be 1,000 Satoshis every day. So once a day, do it religiously. At the 200-day mark, you're maxed out at 1,000 Satoshis every time you shake your phone once a day. Not too bad. They also have the ShakePay Visa card, where you could use your ShakePay Visa card for your everyday purchases or even your big purchases, and you'll get 1% return back to you in Bitcoin. So that's not too bad. And also they have the Shake Paid promotion ongoing, where the total amount which you purchased, say you purchased a tank of gas for $200, which is common these days, potentially the whole thing could be returned back to you in Bitcoin and add to your account. So another great promotion that's going on with Shake Pay. So, and we also have Shake Pay coming on this evening to discuss a new promotion. So stay tuned for that. And so that's it for the ShakePay front. We enjoy it. We recommend it. It's a great place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. And our second sponsor is Ledin. And what are you going to do with the Bitcoin that you bought from ShakePay? You could throw it on the Ledin platform. So you could use our referral code below to sign up. And if you put 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC on the Ledin platform, you'll be gifted 10 USDC. Not only that, if you have a large amount of Bitcoin and you need money, you need something to, you know, some money to purchase a new car or fill up your car, whatever it is, everything's pricey these days. Ledin is there to help you out. You could borrow against your stack of Bitcoin. It's a 50% loan to value ratio, and you could use that. Then you could fund whatever it is you want to, like I mentioned, fill up your car, extend your house, whatever that could you want to do. So you don't have to sell your Bitcoin. You could just simply borrow against it. And they also have the B2X feature. So if you're feeling lucky, if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, can't go down any further, can it? And use the B2X option. You double up your Bitcoin stack. And once it's at a high enough point that you're happy with it, pull out and you're good to go. And you're just basically increased your Bitcoin stack without doing anything, with just watch the price of Bitcoin go up. And lastly, they have the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. This industry first, where you could use your Bitcoin to back your mortgage moving forward, and it's only available in certain jurisdictions. So check Ledin's website for where the Bitcoin-backed mortgages are being offered. Also check their website for the interest rates for the savings and the lending aspect, because those interest rates change on a month-to-month basis. All right, with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing and let's take a look to see who are the big winners and losers for today. The price of Bitcoin from the last trading day, I think, was relatively flat. I know we had a big drawdown this past weekend. We hit around 17,000 just yesterday and sometimes Sunday through the day, but it has since recovered. And now we're hanging in at, you know, as you can see right there on the block clock, around 20,000 ish. So yeah, let's take a look to see who are the winners and losers for today, which there's more winners than losers, which is rather nice. Cipher Mining, no news what caused this. 27.27% up on a day. That's a lot. WonderFi, we'll be talking about them shortly. 19.3% up on a day. Some really interesting news that came from WonderFi today. It was sort of pending, but still, nonetheless, it was good news. BTBT, I've talked about them at length. 16.39% up. I'm not too bullish on them, to be perfectly honest. And CryptoWorks, 15% up on a day. TerraWolf, 10.05% up on a day. Big Digital Assets, 10% up. So there's a number of different ones that are double digits on up for today. But on the minus side, Mawson Infrastructure, down 17.24% on no news. There's something here. There's always the very top of the list or the very bottom. Today, they're at the bottom. Does that mean tomorrow they'll be at the top? I don't know. No news as to why they're down so much. Blue Sky Digital, down 11.76%. No news will cause this pretty big drawdown. Sphere 3D, 8.34% down. Luxfolio, 8.33% down, which is funny. Big Digital Assets is up around 10%. And Luxfolio is down 8.33%. And remember, Big Digital Assets purchased around 15% of Luxfolio. Find that to be rather interesting. But more, if you take a look here, there's some red, but there's a heck of a lot more green. So yeah, I think it's a rather decent day considering the price of Bitcoin was flat from the last trading day. So I'll take it. Not too bad. And what the heck happened to Mawson? I don't know. Why are they at the bottom? I'd love to know. Somebody give me some insight as to why they're either at the very top or the very bottom. So I can't make heads or tails of this. And the first story I have is a story from Big Digital Assets. And they are going to be undertaking in a webinar. And this is with Adelaide Capital. And this webinar is going to take place on Tuesday, June 28th, 2022, from 2 to 3 p.m. I believe that's Eastern time. Now, during this meeting, they're going to be talking about and introducing their new NetCoins CEO, Fraser Matthews. And NetCoins is a subsidiary of Big Digital Assets, and it is their exchange where they sell Bitcoin and altcoins. And also through this webinar, they're going to be talking about Big Digital Assets' latest investment in Luxfolio, where they purchased, as I mentioned, 15% stake in Luxfolio. And it's an RSVP type thing, so you click on the link and you fill out the information below, and hopefully you are one of the lucky few who are going to be there to participate in this webinar. So yeah, nothing really else to say aside from this. There's going to be this webinar taking place, and if you're a Big Digital Assets investor, you may want to consider going. It's next week. It's 2 to 3 p.m. I don't know. If you're interested, check it out. If you want to invest in Big Digital Assets, it's on your radar. Like, certainly something to consider, because you might be able to get some nuggets of information from this webinar. So check it out. Not much else to say aside from they have this webinar going on. And yeah, hopefully there's some good news that's going to be relayed from it. And the last piece of news that I have is to do with WonderFi. And they have announced that they are going to be officially trading on the Toronto Stock Exchange as of Wednesday, June 22nd, so just in 2 days. And their stock price had a bit of a bump as a result of this, which was really good news for people that are invested in this. And it'll be traded under the existing symbol WNDR. And there's also going to be two series of warrants that will be traded under the tickers WNDR. .WT.A and WNDR.WT.B. So there you go. This is really good news. They've graduated from the NEO exchange up to the TSX. And this has been very well received by investors. Their stock price has jumped every day since this was announced last week. And even today, I think it's the biggest jump that it experienced since this news was announced. So good for WonderFi investors, but there might be a bit of a pullback after it officially gets released or launched on a TSX. Just my speculation. I could be wrong in that, but I seem to recall the similar types of scenarios when Hut and DigiHost and Bitfarms and others that were listed on a NASDAQ. There was a run up right up until it got listed, and the day it got listed, it kind of reached a peak, and it kind of drew back a little bit from there. So if I'm using those as comparables, I'm expecting that there's going to be a little bit of pullback from WonderFi should everything else remain neutral on Wednesday. So don't expect this to continue to run up indefinitely. There's obviously going to be a peak, but yeah, if you got in a few days ago on WonderFi, it might be a good opportunity to pull out now and then wait until it gets listed and buy back once there's a slight pullback. NFA, but that's just my two cents. And that's it. There's nothing else really to talk about. It's a pretty quiet Monday, but it is what it is, and that's all I can present to you. And before I sign off, just want to ensure that you are aware that nothing we talk about on this channel is considered, even remotely considered, as financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor, Joey's not a financial advisor, and none of the guests we have, at least to date, are financial advisors. So take whatever information we are saying with a grain of salt. Do your own due diligence, because you're only going to get wrecked if you listen to us without doing any research. So with that being said, we'll see you this evening for the live rip of our flagship show. So take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another show where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is June the 21st, 2022. Happy summer to everybody out there. This one will go a little bit longer than the 10 minutes that I like to have these episodes wrapped up, but that's the nature of the beast. We have a little bit more to talk about. At least we have a few stories, not too many, but we'll be diving deep into them. And with that being said, let's go off to our sponsors. And the first sponsor we have is ShakePay. There it is, ShakePay, and it's the best place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. And use our referral code below, and you will get $30 after you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the altcoin which they have listed on their exchange. Furthermore, you have the ability to shake your phone and get partial Bitcoin returned to you, known as Satoshis. It's a faucet. There's not too many of these that exist these days. And if you do this for 200 consecutive days, the 200th day, the amount of Bitcoin that you get per day increases to 1,000 Satoshi. So it pays to open up your ShakePay app once a day, shake your phone, and get some free Satoshis that's going to be added to your account. And they also have the ShakePay contest that's going on. So if you're using your ShakePay Visa card and use that to buy your gas, your groceries, whatever, you could potentially get the whole purchase returned back to you ShakePaid, and also 1% of your purchase will be returned to you in Bitcoin. And the last, and this is really, really new, is the Shake Squad. So you could team up with another four people that could be included in your group. Anytime anybody in your group buys something, 42 Satoshis are returned back to you. So that's not too bad. So it pays to know some Shake payers out there, to group up with them with the Shake Squad, because you will be able to then reap the rewards of 42 sats every time they use the card. So you could really rack up some extra Satoshis using this. So we like ShakePay. It's a great place to onboard into Bitcoin, and we suggest you do so if you're not already a Bitcoiner. And also use the referral code below to take advantage of all the goodies that come along with being a ShakePayer. And our next sponsor is Ledin. So what are you going to do with all the Bitcoin you bought on ShakePay? Why not put it on Ledin and earn some interest? Use our referral code below. Fund your Ledin account with 150,000 Satoshis or $75. Keep it on there for 15 consecutive days and you'll be rewarded with 10 USDC. Furthermore, if you have a large allocation of Bitcoin and you need some money to do something, like fill up your car, for instance, it's very costly these days, Ledin is there to back you up. They have a 50% loan to value, so you can borrow against your Bitcoin and you could do whatever it is you want with that money. Furthermore, if you think that the price of Bitcoin is going up, and it seems like it is these days, you could double up your Bitcoin stack with the B2X option. So once the price of Bitcoin rips, you pull out, always pull out, and you are golden and you just increase your Bitcoin stack. And the last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgage. It's industry first, but not available in all jurisdictions. So please check their website for where the Bitcoin-backed mortgages are being offered. Also check their website for the interest rates for the savings and the borrowing, because these change on a month-to-month basis. We like Ledin, we recommend it, you should use it. All right, so with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing and taking a look to see the winners and losers. There's more winners again today than there are losers. Second consecutive day, if I recall correctly, so this is not too bad. Leading the pack, we have iMining, almost 30% up, 28.57. Big Digital Assets up 18%, and I'd like to see where Luxfolio is. There it is, 9%. So Remember, Big Digital Assets purchased 15% stake in Luxfolio. So there's going to be some correlation moving forward with what happens with Luxfolio and what happens with Big Digital Assets. Argo 18% up, Voyager Digital 16.79% up, Aquarius AI 14% up. They were up 40% in a day, so they dropped down 14%. So 14% is still pretty good, but not as good as 40%. But anyways, Blue Sky 13% up, CryptoStar 12.5% up, Coinbase 12.24, CoinSmart 11% up. So it's tons, double digits, that are made some really good gains today. And even on a close, we had four of them at 9%, Neptune Digital, Riot, Marathon, and Luxfolio. So there another four just knocking on a door, double digits gains today. But yeah, a lot of gains, but there are some losses, like CryptoStar down 17% and TerraWolf down 10.58%. Cypher Metaverse is down 10%. Bitcoin Well down 6.67%. Their Cypher Mining down 6.5%. And Iris Energy down 5.35%. There is some good news, at least I thought. I still think. It's very practical news that came up from Iris Energy. Why did it go down? I don't know. I thought the news was not too bad. And Mawson at 4.86. Why, usually at the very bottom, very top. Anyways, yeah, so there you go. Lots and lots of winners today. And not so many losers. So it's another good day on the markets. And that's good because, when you see something low, you buy. When you see something high, you sell. That's the name of the game, right? So yeah, let's keep at it. All right, so leading things off, it's not a specific story with a particular company, more a very generalized story, and it's from Arcane Research. And I'm going to post a link to this article below, but the gist of it shows that Bitcoin miners are starting to dump their Bitcoin holdings, and it seems to be that it's much harder to get capital these days, given that the price of Bitcoin has been depressed. So in the past, one of the options were available were to borrow against your Bitcoin, but now it's much harder to do because you'd have to put more and more of your Bitcoin up for collateral to borrow against the Bitcoin. So they are starting to dump their Bitcoin. For better or for worse, this is one of the ways that they make ends meet and keep the lights on for their operations. And as you can see from this chart, it was pretty steady, a little bit of a peak in January, but still, we'll call it relatively flat from January until April in terms of the amount of Bitcoin that was sold for those months. But now we see in the month of May, it just jumped up substantially. It's now more than 2x from January's, when I called it the peak, for in the last 5 months. And I suspect in June is going to be the same thing. We haven't yet finished the month of June, so we have a couple of more, a week and a half left for the month. So what's going to happen is anybody's guess, but I'll throw in my guess here. I suspect there's going to be more Bitcoin that's being sold. And we'll be talking about that with one company that has sold and has announced they sold a great deal of their Bitcoin. And so it just seems to be par for the course. So you're going to notice that a lot of Bitcoin is going to be flooding the market, already has flooded the market, between what happened with Doquan's Terra Luna and now with this Bitcoin miners dumping some of their mined Bitcoin on the open market. There's some downward pressures, sell pressures on Bitcoin, and there seems to be a little bit of a glut on the market with Bitcoin that's available to purchase. And that's understandable. In the grand scheme of things, I don't think this is going to be terribly bad in terms of driving down the price of Bitcoin. And the reason being, if you look at all the miners, how much they hold, and we'll look at the top two. It's Marathon and Core Scientific, and they hold around 9,000 BTC each, respectively. Compare that to MicroStrategy, which is, they hold what, 125,000-ish Bitcoin? So if all the Bitcoin miners even decided to sell off everything they have, their whole reserves that they have of Bitcoin, it's still, in my personal opinion, it's still not even going to get close to what MicroStrategy has on their reserve. So I'm just using this as a comparison. MicroStrategy would be the one that could really tip the market in the wrong direction if they decide to sell it. And ditto with Tesla. Tesla has a great deal of Bitcoin on their balance sheet, roughly half as much as MicroStrategy, but still, they can really move the market one way or another. So I think in terms of overall Bitcoin accumulated, add up all the miners, what they're holding, might be close-ish to Tesla. One may be a little bit higher than the other, but that's relatively where we're at. So I don't think this is going to be a bad thing moving forward with the price of Bitcoin. And like I said, Bitcoin miners, this is the way they do business. They only have a few different ways in which they could raise capital. They could sell shares they already have. They could create shares, dilution. They could borrow against their equipment. And the equipment itself now is depressed in price because the price of Bitcoin has gone down. They could borrow against their Bitcoin, but that's, again, it's ditto. The price has gone down as well. So it's not as lucrative as it was a few months back, or they could simply sell the Bitcoin that they mine. So these are just the ways they do business. It's not the end of the world. It's just par for the course in reality. So if you're going to hear stories moving forward that the Bitcoin miners have been starting to sell or they have sold their Bitcoin, don't be surprised. This article here, again, I'm going to post the link below, is indication that this has already happened and will probably continue happening for the next little while. So just food for thought more than anything else. Okay, so let's keep things moving right along. We'll talk about Iris Energy. And while we had their CEO, Dan Roberts, on our show not too long ago, and really cool guy. And so I was just listening to that episode, especially if you want to learn a little bit more about Iris Energy and their total operations. But as for the information today, they came up with some information which was, I thought, to be rather bullish. So, well, I'll get right at it. So they're ahead of plans or ahead of their expansion from their McKenzie site, and it was going to be from 50 to 80 megawatts. So they've revised their expected total operating capacity to 4.3 exahash per second. That's going to be the end of Q4 2022. And going back even a little further, it's also going to be 3.7 exahash per second by the end of Q3 2022. So you're going to have 3.7 by the end of Q3 and 4.3 exahash per second by the end of Q4. So there's some steady growth. But they also noted here that the company currently has no corporate debt on its balance sheet, and they are going to defer any additional major capital expenditure for work beyond the initial 4.3 exahash per second of operating capacity to preserve balance sheet flexibility. I suspect what's going on right now in the marketplace is that it's causing some real concerns for Iris Energy, given the fact that the price of Bitcoin has really scaled back quite a bit. And so they were going to, from what I understand, scale up and get to, I think it was a 12 or 15 exahash per second by next year. So it seems like they're going to be putting the brakes on it. So at the very least, they are moving forward and they're going to be 4.3 exahash per second. And that puts them in line with solidly in the middle, the upper middle class, we'll call it, in terms of the Bitcoin mining game. So that is not too bad. I like that. And I suspect as things improve in the marketplace moving forward, as the price of Bitcoin moves up and as the overall markets change, I mean, it's traditional markets have been very bearish for the past few months, just like the Bitcoin market. But as things turn around on both those markets, I suspect Iris Energy is going to start deploying more capital towards expanding their operation moving forward. So this isn't really bad news, in my opinion. They hold no debt. How bad is that, right? Like, it's pretty good news in terms of that regard, especially with the cost of carrying debt being a little more costly these days as it was, say, 6 months ago or even 2 weeks ago. So there is some silver lining to this this news here. So I this is really good news. I don't think it's anything bad. I think it's rather good. 4.3 exahash per second is really a good number. It's a solid number. And I'm pretty bullish on this. All right, so the last story I have is from Bitfarms. And this, you're gonna have to take it for yourself if it's bullish or bearish. I'm gonna say it is probably not the greatest of news, but it's really a sign of the times. And unfortunately, because the drawdown in price of Bitcoin really hurt a lot of companies, and Bitfarms had levered against their Bitcoin holdings, they sold a lot of the Bitcoin they had in the reserves. The good news is they're mining around 14 Bitcoin per day, which is up from the previous months. From what I understand, it was around 12 or 13 Bitcoin per day. So it shows you that their ability to mine Bitcoin is getting stronger over time. And this is due to the two reasons. One, it seems like there's a little bit of a drawback in terms of the overall network hash rate, but also it's in conjunction of Bitfarms most likely deploying a little bit more network, ASICs on their network and making their whole operation a little bit more powerful, and they can mine more Bitcoin as a result. But let's talk about the selling off of the Bitcoin. So right now they currently hold 3,349 Bitcoin on the reserves. And this is quite a drop from what they had a few weeks ago. And it's noted here that their strategy for holding has ended. And it states here that they sold 3,000 Bitcoin for $62 million. And this is to boost its liquidity. And so this is, I've mentioned earlier that there are companies out there selling their Bitcoin, and Bitcoin miners selling their Bitcoin, and this is one of them. They're not the only one. So all this is kind of adding to the sell pressures for Bitcoin, but over time, as this kind of sails off and we just overcome this hurdle and look at the price of Bitcoin, 21,000. So it looks like we kind of got over that hurdle. I think might be some smooth sailing ahead. B2X from Lenin, maybe an option, but let's get back to Bitfarms. So this is the interesting part here. It said they had to sell their crypto assets to stay afloat. Don't know what to take. Is it to take for that? It is what it is. And so it's saying it's difficult to, because the price of Bitcoin has gone down, it's difficult for the sector to raise capital from stock and repay debts. It's noted here that companies like Riot, Marathon, they're still holding on, but it's noted here that other companies have sold off. So Argo, Core Scientific, they sold off some of their Bitcoin, and not too long ago, like we 2,500 and 250. So like, there's companies here that are selling off their Bitcoin. This is solidifying the earlier article from Arcane Research, and a couple more things I wanted to note, that Bitfarms also sold off 1,500 Bitcoin last week. So that was, at least it was announced last week, they sold it. So looks like they're selling off quite a bit of their Bitcoin. They still have a little bit more than 3,000 on their reserves. But remember, they also bought 1,000 Bitcoin not too long ago. That was at the average price of $43,200. So that's, unfortunately, they're taking a haircut in this whole process. So the 1,000 Bitcoin they bought, you know, they still have it, I suppose, still in a balance sheet because they have 3,349. But man, oh man, this is a sign of the times, my friends. And this type of news, you're probably going to hear more going forward. Again, referring back to the Arcane Research article, it's just solidifying the fact that Bitcoin miners are finding it difficult to raise capital these days. And one of the ways to do it, well, you sell your Bitcoin. And Bitfarms seems to be one of the companies that is doing it. So for better or for worse, there's going to be some Bitcoin that's going to be added to the market as these miners start selling off their reserves. So Hut 8 has a lot in the reserves. They have around 7,000, and Marathon still has a ton on the reserves. So I'm waiting for those two to start liquidating what they have. And it was going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. But as long as the price of Bitcoin doesn't go down any further, you know, if it might go down to 20, maybe 19, but as long as it doesn't go down much further than that, and we just have our slow run up to $1 million per Bitcoin, that'd be awesome. And of course, that would really help out the Bitcoin miners. But given the price of Bitcoin right now, 21K per BTC, it's tough doing business, given that they were operating in an environment where it was over 40,000 plus, and they were, I guess, banking in the fact that it didn't go below 40,000 for too long, but unfortunately it has, and here we are, and they're gonna have to make do with what they have. So that's it for Bitfarms. Really interesting stuff, and we may hear more similar stories moving forward, so stay tuned. And that's it for another episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I know not too much to talk about in terms of the number of stories, but still lots of meat on the bone from these stories, so there was still quite a bit to actually digest and go down deep in these stories. Before I close things off, just want to ensure that you are aware that I am not a financial advisor. Joey's not a financial advisor, and we have yet to date have a financial advisor on our show. So nobody's giving out financial advice. So make sure if you're going to dump any money into anything that we talk about, you make sure you do your own research and your own due diligence. It only makes sense, because you'll get wrecked if you don't do it. So with that being said, we'll be back tomorrow with an interview and maybe a miners episode as well. So with that, take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another edition where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities. Today is June the 24th, 2022. Beautiful, sunny Friday. Hope everybody enjoyed the day. At least it was sunny in my neck of the woods. But before we go on, just want to ask if you could please like and subscribe to the channel, and that's going to help us out tremendously. And with that being said, let's get to our sponsors. And our first sponsor is ShakePay. It's the best place to buy and never sell your Bitcoin. And if you use our referral code below and you fund your account with $100 and use that to buy Bitcoin or the altcoin that they have listed on their exchange, well, you'll be given $30 to be added to your account. Also, that if you use the referral code and sign up, you will be able to open up the ability to shake your phone once you open up the app. And once a day, you'll be rewarded with free partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Do it for 200 consecutive days, and you'll be rewarded with 1,000 Satoshis per day. So it's a little faucet that's available for all ShakePay users that use the referral code. It's a great way to earn some Bitcoin. There's not too many faucets out there today, so take advantage while you can. Also, there's the ShakePay Visa card, and you could use that to buy anything that you need, your daily purchases like gas, smokes, groceries, whatever it is you buy, and you'll be rewarded back. 1% Bitcoin from your total purchase will be added to your account, and you could get the total purchase rewarded back to you in Bitcoin. So that's the Shake Paid promotion. And last but not least, there's also the Shake Squad, where you join up with four other people, and anytime a purchase is done, everybody in the team and everybody in the Shake Squad gets 42 Satoshi. So it's worthwhile to get involved with a Shake Squad that's very active, and it's worthwhile to use your ShakePay Visa card frequently, because then you will get rewarded and everybody else will get rewarded as well. So there's ShakePay. It's a great place to buy Bitcoin, excellent way to onboard and buy some Bitcoin and add it to your stack. And what are you going to do with all that Bitcoin that you bought from ShakePay? Why not use Ledin to earn some interest? So sign up now with Ledin using our referral code below. Fund your account with 150 Satoshis or 75 USDC, and do it for 15 calendar days, and you'll get 10 USDC added to your account. Not only that, if you have a large whack of Bitcoin, you don't want to sell your stash, and you want to borrow against it, Ledin is there to help you out. So you can borrow against it, 50% loan to value. You can take that money, do whatever you want. You can renovate your house, repair your car, whatever it is you need to do, and you're good to go. And furthermore, they also have the B2X option. So if you think the price of Bitcoin is going up, as you can see right now, it slowly is, you could take advantage of the B2X by doubling up your Bitcoin stack. And once the price of Bitcoin goes up quite a bit, you pull out. As always, never leave it in, always pull out, and you're good to go. So if you're feeling lucky, use the B2X that Ledin has offered to his clients. And the last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages, industry first, but not available in every jurisdiction. So take a look at their website to see which jurisdictions offered the Bitcoin-backed mortgages, but also take a look at their website to see what are their borrowing and lending rates, as these change month to month. So we like Ledin. We recommend you use it, especially if you want to earn some Bitcoin or borrow against your Bitcoin, and also the B2X and the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. Lots of options from Ledin. We like them. We recommend them. And with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. And we had a pretty good day, as you could see by the price of Bitcoin. It went up a little bit today, so we had a bit of a pump, and that impacted the overall market, and including the Bitcoin equities and related stocks. So let's take a look to see who's winning and losing today. And CoinSmart, wow, big day for them. It's almost 70% up on a day, 69.57. And incredibly, if you look at the day, they were down a little bit sometime through the day and then just pumped so hard later in the day. I can't find any news as to why. I mean, I'll dig a little further, but I can't see why they jumped so high. And also Global Care, which is the ticker HLTH, 50% up on a day. And that was a steady rise if you look at the daily chart. So pretty good ride from them. But again, no news. Galaxy Digital, 9.94% up. Hive 9.55. Luxfolio 8.33. And let's take a look at big digital assets, because when you talk about Lux, you got to talk about big digital assets. Did big have a big day today? And they're down 3.45. That's interesting. yeah, as you can see, there's a lot of green today, but there have been some red, and leading the pack on the red side is Mawson. And I talk about them all the time. 8.09% down. What happened? No news. Always at the top or the bottom. Why is that the case? I do not know. There seems to be a lot of big players probably manipulating the stock price, and which is unfortunate given the fact that Mawson, I like the company. I like what they're doing, and I like their vision moving forward. And another company I like their vision is Cathedra Bitcoin, down 6.52% on a day, which is, I don't know, that's too bad. But I am bullish on them. I like their company. I like the layout of their C-suite and their directors. Marty Bent is on their board of directors. So all in all, I think that they have the long-term vision, and I like what they're doing. So this 6.52% drop, let's consider that a buying opportunity come Monday morning. Blue Sky Digital, 5.88% down, and same with Sato, 5.88%. Wonder 5, you can see they're finally coming down to reality at 5.41% after finally getting listed a couple of days ago on a TSX. So, yeah, there you go. See a lot of winners, a few losers, but wow. Couple of them like 69 and 50% up. Good days for those two companies, HLTH and CoinSmart. Like that's rather insane. And oddly enough, no news. Why it is, I don't know. It seems like it's a rather large jump for absolutely nothing. But I guess investors will take it. Okay, so leading things off, it's a couple of days old, this story, but still very pertinent, and it's about WonderFi. They got listed on a TSX under the ticker WNDR. WNDR. And they were previously on a NEO exchange, and they have since graduated on the 22nd of Wednesday. So this June 22nd, and that was the first day that they got listed on a TSX. So good for WonderFi. This is going to give them more exposure and more abilities to gain capital than they previously had on the NEO exchange. And good for them. I know this was about a week's worth in the that was coming out last week. We got news that they got conditional approval to get listed on a TSX, and then this past Monday we got news that they were going to get listed on this past Wednesday, so June 22nd. And June 22nd came and went, and they got listed. So good for them. There was a pump for their stock price leading up to Wednesday, and then it's kind of plateaued off since. I've made the observation a few days ago, in fact, that it may be a good time to sell just as they got listed or the day before, because I was using previous examples, Bitfarms, HUD 8, Hive, anyone else that comes to mind that were listed on the NASDAQ. There was a pump whenever that news came out, and then as soon as they got listed on the NASDAQ, it kind of all the hype kind of died down. So using that as a gauge, I was expecting that WonderFi would have the same type of results. I mean, they get lots of love right up until the listing, and then once the listing took place, it just it was ho-hum. But yeah, that's what I have from WonderFi. Cool stuff from them. Not really bullish in what they're doing in the grand scheme of things, but I mean, you gotta give them kudos. They got listed on the TSX, so that's a big thing. And is NASDAQ next? We'll see what happens. They might have to do a reverse split in order to meet the minimum price. So yeah, that's all I have to say. All right, moving on. I have a story about Binance that's quite interesting, and a few stories actually. And number one, their rival Binance US, they cut their trading fees to $0. Essentially, it's sparking a trade fee war. So that may take some of the luster away, if there's any left, on Coinbase, and it might attract some of the user base towards Binance US rather than using Coinbase. I know Binance US is a stripped down version of the Binance that we used to know here in Canada, at least on Ontario, but still it's enough of a casino out there that people like. And given the fact now they're lowering the fees to zero or near zero for a lot of their coins/tokens, it might impact Coinbase moving forward. So that's interesting, but that's not the only story I have about Coinbase. Number two, they have announced that they are reducing their payouts to social influencers who drive up the signups to their platform. And apparently they were paying $40 per signup to some people. That's not too bad. It must have been a good payday. So there you go. Like, there are influencers out there that were pumping up Coinbase, and they're getting $40 a head for every time they had somebody sign up. So clearly things are not going that well at the Coinbase camp if they're reducing the payouts, because now you're going to have less of the social influencers pumping up Coinbase. And what this is going to do to Coinbase in the end, well, I suspect it's going to, they're going to drive less people to their platform. And the last story I have is the Coinbase Pro is going to be no more. In fact, I think it's, as of today, it's no more. And it's going to be an exchange of a favor of something called Advanced Trade. And it's going to be similar under the main app. So there's lots of things moving under the hood here for Coinbase. For better or for worse, they're doing something to hopefully improve their platform. They're going to have to reduce rates if they want to be competitive with Binance US. And yeah, the Coinbase Pro, I seem to recall that's how you made most of your exchanges. It's been a long time since I used Coinbase, but the fact that you're doing stuff like this and you're cutting staff and... Yeah, $600 million, by the way. Just want to state that they spent $600 million on their Coinbase NFT. Imagine they didn't do that. Imagine they kept that money and just did nothing. They would be in a much better position. Maybe they wouldn't have laid off all that their staff. Maybe they wouldn't be changing the $40 per head sign up for influencers. Like, there could be a lot of different things. Clearly, the NFT business is not lighting the world on fire. So $600 million they spent. In my case, it wasn't a wise decision, but they made it, and that's their choice. So that's all I have to say about Coinbase. It's very interesting stuff moving forward. So the last story I have is, it's one about Voyager Digital. And in the last few days, their stock price plummeted tremendously. And the reason why it dropped is because there was exposure to Three Arrows Capital. And we talked about Three Arrows Capital in detail in our last flagship rip we did this past Monday. So I suggest check it out if you want a little bit more information about it. And so Voyager's exposure to Three Arrows Capital includes, oh, this is big numbers, 15,250 Bitcoin, and that's worth about $315 million. That was based at the time this article was written. Furthermore, they also had $350 million worth of USDC exposed to Three Arrows Capital, which is on the brink of collapse. But the White Knight came and saved them. This is Alameda's, this is Bankman-Fried's startup, well, not startup, the company here. He's part, SBF is part of FTX, and he's also leading the Alameda's lend program here. So he's lending $485 million to Voyager to keep them afloat. And this includes a non-binding term sheet for $200 million of the credit facility, which it's a lot of money. The sheet also includes a revolving line of credit of 15,000 Bitcoin. And at the time of writing this one, it was worth about $285 million. So, wow. So... yeah, so SBF has them, Voyager, by the nuts, so to speak. Then, not only that, it was news that was broken that Voyager dropped their daily withdrawal limits to $10,000, which seemingly it's a lot of money. Like, let's not beat around the bush. That's a lot of money to withdraw at one time. But still, it shows that there's cracks in the system. Maybe they don't want to have a lot of wealth removed because they need it in order to stay afloat. So lots of questions here. Voyager Digital took an absolute beating this week, and rightfully so, because of the amount of exposure they had in Three Arrows Capital. And they got, in my opinion, they also got really lucky. They got off relatively unscathed when it came to the Luna exposure, and considering that Novogratz had the Luna tattoo on his bicep, So they dodged one bullet, but they can't keep dodging them all. They have a lot of exposure to DeFi stuff and stuff that's not related to Bitcoin. And those markets have taken a real step back. They're bleeding right now. Not to say that Bitcoin is not bleeding, but it seems like they have taken a much bigger step back than Bitcoin has when you're looking at the price, the overall price of all these assets. So Voyager Digital, going back to that, they had a very bad week. And, you know, I would be very concerned moving forward if I was an investor, but also if I was looking to invest in them. Like, how could you look at this company and say, there's some long-term potential here, there's some growth here. SBF might just at any particular moment, you know, just take it ownership, and the company just may cease to exist and may go under his control. He may just take receivership of it. So I can't see this being something that's going to be around long-term. This whole drawdown in the price of Bitcoin and just about everything else, it's going to make all these players out here that were built on unstable foundations, they're going to collapse. That's just the reality of it. The companies that are strong are going to get stronger, and the ones that are not, they're just going to disappear. I suspect Voyager might be one of those that will disappear. Coinbase is another one. I don't want to discredit them as well, discount them as well, but they might be also a company that could disappear too, depending on how things move going forward. So going back, if you don't hitch your wagon on Bitcoin, you're going to have real problems moving forward, especially if there's a big downturn in the market. Here's an example of it. We're experiencing it right now. And those who are not pro Bitcoin, good luck. That's all I have to say. And that's it for this rip. I hope you enjoyed it. I try to do what I can to recap the week's events in terms of what took place in the world of Bitcoin mining and Bitcoin related equities. If you have any questions, any comments, whatever, please just write them below. As well, I'm not a financial advisor. Joey's not a financial advisor. And none of the guests so far are financial advisors. And even if we do bring one on, it's still not going to be financial advice. So make sure you do your own research. Don't bet any money on the stock market based on what we say, because clearly we don't know what the heck we're talking about. So make sure you do your own research, your own due diligence. It only makes sense. And with that being said, we'll be talking most likely on Monday. So have a wonderful weekend.